Okay, page 998. Last time we just began a little bit the parasha of Re'e, but the pasuk starts off like this: Re'e anechin eisen lefnecha meyim. See, thank you. See, not like we learned last week was Ekav Tishmuun. Shmir here says you should see anechin eisen lefnecha meyim bracha klol. I'm giving you a bracha today and curses. Blessing and curses. The Mefarshim ask a number of questions over here. There's a lot in this pasuk itself just to discuss. Hashem is saying, bracha and klola. Now, which bracha and klola are we talking about? Like he says later on in the few psukim, it speaks about har grizim, har evol. The bracha was given on the mountain of grizim. The curses were given on the mountain called evol. But there's a number of questions here. Number one, why does it say the word re'e? See. You know, normally, I mean, the next pasuk begins, Esabrach asher tishmu, that you'll hear. Like, what is this concept of seeing? And again, anechi neisen lefnecha meyem. We're going to soon discuss each one of these letter words have a very profound meaning. But another thing that the pasuk, the mefarshim ask, re'e is singular. Yeah, lefnechem is plural. Either it should say re'u, which is plural, or it say re'e anechi neisen lefanecha. Yeah, re'e is singular, lefnechem is plural. You either say both singular, both plural. You can't start off singular and end off with plural. Another thing, which is very difficult to understand, if God is the ultimate good, how could curse come from God? Pasuk says clearly, Anechi Ne'ai, Hashem, gives you today bracha uklala. How can curse come from God? We know that Hashem is Etzem HaTev, the essence of good. Teva HaTev LaHetiv, the nature of good is to do good. There's a pasuk that says, Ein Ra Yedid Min HaShemayim, no evil comes from heaven. So, like, how in the world do you have a concept of curses coming from God? Okay, so the whole pasuk really is very difficult to understand.
Rabbi, curse this means punishment. This is not mean punishment.
We're going to soon discuss what is the definition of a curse, which is very interesting. Targum Unkelis translate the word klolo as levatin. Levatim means in Aramaic curses. Targum Yenisim ben Azil, we mentioned him Shabbos. Targum Yenisim ben Azil defines the word as bracha v'chalifa, and the opposite, the exchange of bracha. He doesn't translate the word klola as a curse. He translates the word klola, he says, I don't have it in front of me, chilufa, okay? The opposite of it. Which according to him, because he was in this, the Mefarshim explained like this. Unkelis was a ged. Okay. Rabbi Yonis and Ben Azil lived at the time of the Beis Hamikdash. He was, like we learned Shabbos, he was a student of Hillel. Mm. So he was 100 years before the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. So, and Israel, because it was a higher level, it wasn't a curse. It was only the opposite of a bracha, which I'll explain in a second what that means. Unkelis, though, because he lived in the time of Golus, okay, then he translated as the word curse. Okay, let's discuss a little bit this whole general thing, because the pasuk obviously is very difficult to understand. But the explanation is like this. We learned last week, and we just started it last week, I need to continue it. There's seeing, and there's listening. Shmiya doesn't mean hear. Shmiya means understand. Shema Yisrael doesn't mean hear. It means understand. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Ekav Tishmun means when you will understand. Shmiya, there's a pasuk in Tanakh, it says, Daber ki Shemeya Avdecha. Speak because I understand. I'm going to understand what you say. Then there's a level of Ri'iyah, seeing. What's the difference between Riyah and Shmiya? We mentioned last week briefly. If I understand something, you can prove to me that I don't. You can start asking me questions, and you show me that I don't understand it. But if I see this cup, I see it. Okay, you can bring me a million proofs that the cup's not here, you're not going to change my mind. Because I see the cup. And when you see something, even like we said, seeing is believing, or somebody says something, you say, oh, I see. What do you mean I see? You don't see, you hear it. But you understand it as if you see it. Because when you see it, it becomes one with you. And therefore we mentioned last week, that the din is, a witness in capital punishment cannot become a judge. Because once you see it, you'll never be able to hear unbiased, objective, what the case is. If the judge saw the murder, there's no way he's going to find favor for the murderer. And the Torah says you need to be objective. You need to find the shafto ha'eda v'itzilo ha'eda. They have to judge it. They have to be able to save the person. So you need to be objective. Once you see something in capital punishment, you cannot be objective anymore, and therefore you're not a kosher judge. You have to disqualify yourself from being a judge in that particular case. Because seeing is one with the person. So the Torah says like this. It's not enough for a Jew to understand this concept that the Torah is going to say now. You need to see it on the level of a nechi. Now we know, what is the level of a nechi? In English you translate I. Okay? But you have, we've learned this many times, you have in the Ten Commandments, it says that you have a nechi Hashem Elokecha. When we make a bracha, we say Baruch Atah, you, second person, versus Anechi, which is first person. Yeah, Nechach, you, Hashem Elokeinu. Now, why do we say Baruch Atah, Hashem Elokeinu? We should say Baruch Hashem Elokeinu, or Baruch Hashem. We're saying you, Hashem Elokeinu, three names of God. But why are we saying so many names? I mean, or Anechi Hashem Elokecha. Hashem should say Anechi Hashem, or Anechi Elokecha. Anechi Hashem Elokecha. What are these three things? So it's explained that Anechi, the Medrash has an expression, and the Zayi also says it, Anechi Misha Anechi, Dula Yisramiz, Lo Bashum Os, Velo Bashum Kotz. Anechi represents the essence of God. Nameless. Nameless means it's not the level of Hashem, the way he identifies with the world. It's the name, the essence of God, the way God is as he is by himself. What does this mean? We learned already, and again, just briefly to for the sake of understanding this thing over here. When Hashem met Moshe Rabbeinu met God at the burning bush. The Pasuk says, Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem, what's your name? So the Pasuk says, whatever it is. But the Medrash says that when Moshe Rabbeinu asked Hashem his name, Hashem said to him, Shmi Atarot Zaleida? You want to know my name? I don't have a name. It depends what I do. When I do kindness, I'm called Kael. Because the Pasuk says, Chesed Kel Kol Hayim. When I do punishment, I'm called Elohim. Power, might. When I do Rachmanis, mercy, I'm called Yudke Vavke. When I fight battles, I'm called Tzvokis. When I do other things, I'm called Shindalud Yud. Meaning, God reveals himself and identifies himself in the world with the seven Midot. Because the world was created in 7 days. Right, each day was that particular midah, the seven midot, right? Three levels of intellect, seven midot, like we have in Sfiras HaEmer, seven times seven, the way each midah is composed of all seven. So the first day Hashem was chesed, therefore it was od. Second day was gvura, Hashem made the heavens that split. Third day is twice kitov. Each day of the week is created based on the midah of that day. The same thing, the Ramban at the beginning, I'm going off a little bit. The Ramban at the beginning of Chumash, the beginning of Bereshit, the Ramban says, It's really, the Ramban says, the end of the creation, but at the beginning of the first Parsha Chumash. The Ramban says, the 6 days of creation correspond with the 7,000 years of the world. 7 days of creation correspond with the seven, like it says in Tillim, Elef Shana Beinecha, Kiyom Esmol. 1,000 years by God is like 1 day. Right? What does that mean? So the Ramban explains that if God created the world with 7 days, seven midot, right? God created the 7,000 years of world also with that midah. Meaning, the first 1,000 years was the attribute of chesed. Just like the first day was chesed, kindness. What did God create? Light. God created light. Right? Because light is chesed. So, the first 1,000 years, what attribute of God was revealed in the world? Chesed. Where do you see it? People live very long. 900, 930, 9 this, 9 that. They live very long. It's chesed to live that long. I mean, I don't know today if we want to live that long. But in those days, it was chesed. The second day was Gvura. What did Hashem create the seventh day? The heaven that splits and divides, right? Separation. Not unity, separation. What happened in the second 1,000 years of creation? God brought the flood and the Tower of Babel. Right? What destruction? That's the attribute of Elohim, Gvura. The 3,000th year is Tiferes, glory. That's the 3,000th year when God gave the Torah in 2448. Right? That was in the 3,000th year era. The fourth day, the sun and the moon. What was created in the 4,000th year of the world? The first base of Mikdash and the second base of Mikdash. And the Ramban goes through all 6 days of creation. It's a beautiful Ramban. He goes through each day of the creation. And then obviously Shabbos is the era of Mashiach. From 6,000 to 7,000 is the 7,000th year era of Shabbos of Mashiach. L'yem shekula Shabbos u'menucha l'chayilam. So, the names of Hashem, and that's why, by the way, halachically, the Gemara says, and Shulchan Aruch brings down, there are seven names of Hashem that you're not allowed to erase, because they're holy names. You're not allowed to say them, you're not allowed to erase them, because they're holy names. But that is the way Hashem is identifying with the world. When Hashem identifies with the world, how he either does chesed, right? So then we call him Kel. When he does Gvura, punishment, he's called Elohim, and so on. So, therefore, when God created the world, because God created a limited world, it's always Vayomer Elohim. Vayomer Elohim. Elohim, like we learned, equals 86. Aleph, when if you're not Elohim, but with the hey, the way it's written, Elohim is 86, which the word Hateva, the nature, equals 86. Why is the word Teva nature? So it says in Chassidus that we read last week's Pasha, that we say every day in Davening, in Oz Yashir, Tubu'u b'yam suf, they were sunken in the sea. The word Tubu'u means drowned, sunken, you covered up. What is Teva? What is nature? Nature is the level of godliness covered. Because nature is a miracle. The sun comes up, a baby's born, the plants, I mean, the whole world's an unbelievable miracle. But a constant miracle, you don't see the miracle anymore. You see, you can look at the world, you don't even see God. God forbid. Right? There's a lot of bagayim. You see the sun coming up, they say, okay, it's Mother Nature, it's nothing to do with God. So the world was created with Elohim, because that's the concept of nature. You also have a level of godliness, which is the supernatural. Meaning, sometimes God reveals himself in a natural way. Sometimes God reveals himself in a supernatural way. Like miracles. That is the name of Yudke Vavke. Why is that the name of Yudke Vavke? Because besides the fact that Yudke Vavke comes from the word mehaveh, to create. But like we learned in the past, if you take the name Yudke Vavke and play with those four letters, you have Hayah, Hoveh, and Yihiyah. Take the dust letter Yud Kei Vav Kei and play with them. You have Haya was, Hoveh present, and Yihya future. In one word. That means that it's above time, because normally past is past, present is present, and future is future. To have past, present, and future simultaneously in one word, that means it's above nature, that you can have above time, above nature. So Yudke Vavke is that name of Hashem that's supernatural level of God. So you have Elohim is the way God reveals himself in the natural way. Yudke Vavke, the way God reveals himself in the supernatural way. The problem is, these are all the way God is revealing himself. When God reveals supernatural, God is associating with world. He's identifying with world in a supernatural way. Just like he identifies in a natural way, God identifies in a supernatural way. The word anechi is me, I, means there's no name. There's no identification with world. It's God, the way God is by himself. Like we said, anechi, misha, anechi, the lowest ramiz, which is not alluded to, not in any letter, not in even the crown of the letter, lebishum os, lebishum kotz, it's the essence of God. Now, you have that in the Ten Commandments, anechi, Hashem alakecha. In other words, it's starting from the essence of God coming into the revelation of the supernatural, into the revelation of nature, okay? When a Jew makes a bracha, we say, Baruch Ata. Ata is you nameless. No name.
Anochi is Ata.
Anochi is first person, it's the second person. But Anochi and Ata are the same thing. It's above name. Meaning, it's above identification with the world. So, again, Derech Agav, just in passing, when a Jew makes a bracha, and they say, Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, which is the beginning of every bracha, what they're essentially saying is, Baruch, in the English, Siddur, is translated, blessed are you, O God, our God, King of the universe. It's much deeper than that, than the English translation. Baruch, in Hebrew, means to bring down. You have in Chumash, when Rivka, the camels, met over there with Eliezer, with the Shidduch thing, she said, Vayavreich es agmalim. What do you mean, Vayavreich? She kneeled down. Because Birkayim are called knees. Because when you kneel, you go down. That's what the concept of kneeling is. There's a Mishnah that says, Hamavreich es agefen. There's a thing, you can't plant wheat with grapes. So the Mishnah says, what happens? A mavrich es a gefen, which is baruch. What's a mavrich es a gefen mean? He takes the vine and bends it down into the wheat. So it's considered wheat and vine is growing together, which is forbidden, according to Torah. So the word baruch does not only mean blessed. It means baruch, to come down. Who should come down? Ata means the essence of God. Into a level of the supernatural. Into the level of the natural, and through this, Melech Ha'olam, that the whole world sees God as King. That's the definition, by the way, of a simple bracha that we make 100 times a day, and we don't even think about what we're saying, and we don't even remember what we said. But this is the definition of a bracha in a deeper sense than just blessed thou, Lord God, the King, you know. It, obviously, the bracha is much deeper.
It's working. God is there.
We're talking about bringing out God down into the world, and I could be standing. I could be standing.
You cannot talk to God as give a power to God.
We're telling God should come down. Anyway, let's first get back to here. I went off to explain what the pasuk over here is saying. In this level of anochi, by the way, that we cannot understand. Okay, that we cannot understand. Good and bad are equal. Good and bad are only different once they're revealed. Once they're defined, this is good, this is bad. But the essence of Hashem is above both together. I'll give you a very simple example. Fire itself is good or bad?
Good and bad. Both.
Okay, that means it could do good, it could do bad. That means fire itself is above both. You could define it as good, you could define it as bad. A knife, is a knife good or bad? It could be good, you could cut a piece of cake, or cut a piece of meat, and it could be bad, you can kill somebody, God forbid. So, the Nechi refers to a level of God which is above good, above bad, above nature, above supernatural, above time, everything there is the same. In fact, there's a pasuk, I don't know where it is, but somewhere in Tanakh, it says, Halayach Esav LeYaakov, is Esav and Yaakov not brothers? And then the pasuk continues, Ves Esav Sanesi, Ves Yaakov Ohavti, maybe reverse. Yaakov Ohavti, Ves Esav Sanesi. The pasuk is a very strange pasuk. The pasuk says, Yaakov and Esav are brothers? And then the pasuk continues, Hashem says, I love Esav and hate Yaakov. I love Yaakov and hate Esav. What's the pasuk saying? When you say people are brothers, by definition it means they're equal. They're equal. There's a level of godliness that Yaakov and Esav, good and bad, are the same. In the essence of God, because God makes everything. God gives good, God gives bad. In the essence of God, it's both the same. When it becomes revealed, then you have Bracha and Klala, then you have Yaakov and Esav, then you have good and bad, and then you have nature and miracle, but in the level of God's essence, it's all the same. Therefore, this explains like this. Hashem is telling us, and there's another thing, what's the expression they sing? The Gemara says, Kol ha-neisein, it's a Gemara in Bava Basra, Kol ha-neisein, ba'ayin yofa neisein. Whoever gives, gives with a good eye. What does this mean? There's a machlekes in the whole parak in Bava Basra, between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim. Like, if I own a house in the middle of a field, yeah, and I sell you the house, do I automatically give you a road to the house, or that's separate? So his argument, if a guy sells, does he sell with a good eye, or does he sell with a bad eye? So machlekes Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim throughout the whole parak over there about this concept. But the Gemara says, according to all opinions, kol ha-neisein, if I give you matana, that's ba'ayin yofen neisein. That for sure I give with a good eye. If I'm selling, maybe yeah, maybe not, there's an argument. But when I give you a neisein, means nothing comes with matana. Right? If I give you a gift, everybody says, I give you with a good eye. So the pasuk says like this. Now let's see the pasuk inside. Re'ei anechi neisim lefneichem. Behold, I'm giving you, okay, today. What does it mean today? In a permanent basis. Like today, meaning always, constantly. Who is giving to you? Anechi means, Hashem says, my essence is giving lefneichem. What does it mean for you? It could have said lochem. Lifnecha means into your pneumius, into your internal levels. I'm giving it to you, not externally, superficial. Hashem gives us to the Jew. I want you to see, not understand. I want you to see, that means you feel it as if there's no question about it. That Anechi, the essence of God, is giving with a good eye into your pneumius, Bracha and Klala. Because even the bad that comes from Hashem, Hashem says is good. Because, like we said before, no bad comes from God. It's bad, it's evil. We say in davening, if it's a pasuk in Yeshaya, but they change the pasuk. In the Siddur, the pasuk is changed. Right after Baruch Hu, we say, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Yetzer Erd, he formed light. Bore Choshech, Ose Shalom, and we say, Bore Yisakol, But the pasuk, look it up in Yeshaya, the pasuk says, Uberei Ra. God created evil. Evil God created. Interesting. One second, let me just finish. It says in the pasuk in Yeshaya that we say in davening, but it says the Mfoshim of Siddur explain. We don't want to say Borei Ra in davening, so because we're davening asking for Hashem only for good. But the pasuk in Yeshaya says, Uberei Ra. That means God created evil. What does it mean God created evil? Good, I have to mention this. By the Christians, there's God and Satan. And God is good and Satan is bad, and they don't mix, and there's two different things. The Torah says, no, that's not true. God himself created evil. But evil is not evil. Evil is only a vehicle, a kli, a keli, for good to be good. In order to be rewarded for good, and this, the next psukim we're going to be coming to, in order to be rewarded for good, you need to be able to do bad. Because if I have no choice to do evil, and I can only do good, then what's good? The good is not good. Good can only be good when I have a choice to do bad. So therefore, this that Hashem created evil in the world is not evil as an end by itself, a tachlit, a purpose. The purpose of evil is for good to be good. And therefore Hashem says, I want you to know, brach and klola, meaning good and bad. And like he says, the brach is when you listen to Hashem, and the curse if you don't listen to Hashem. What does that mean? So brach and klola, the Torah itself defines as the choice of good and bad. By the way, that's why this, the Mefarshim explained, the Ramban, they all explain that this pasuk is teaching us the whole concept of free choice. Hashem says to you, and that's a remarkable thing the Torah is teaching us. The Torah is saying to us, I am the one that gives you good and bad. Me, God says, it's me, it's good. So you have to understand, evil is not bad. Evil is good. How could evil be good? Because the purpose of evil is for good to be good. And without evil, good can't be good. And therefore it says, Hashem says, I want you to know, Anechi Naisen Lefnecha Mayim. I am giving you for today. Bracho Klolo. I am giving you good and bad. But it's only for good.
But if you say God, as the, God is no bad, because Anochi, he has nothing, so is the bad is not good either. Why we say it's not only not bad?
Because bad is for...
God is good.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Surgery is good or bad?
It's good.
You want surgery?
No.
If it's going, you don't want it. Okay. Money is good or bad?
Good.
Okay, you want it?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Surgery is good or bad?
It depends.
Is surgery good?
It's good if I'm sick. If I need it.
Answer the question. Is surgery good or bad?
I would say it's good.
Nobody's going to say surgery is good.
But
help people. The goal of surgery is good. Okay. So therefore, surgery is a means, it's not an end by itself. There's no tachlis of surgery. There's no mitzvah. I want to have surgery just for surgery. I mean, the guy's nuts, right? The purpose of surgery is to become healed. Surgery itself is bad. You want surgery? You want to be cut open? Who wants surgery? But because in order to get the good, meaning health, I need the surgery to make me better. So again, so bottom line, is surgery good or bad? Surgery is a means for good. It's only a means for good. It's not good by itself. But it's bad, but not bad as a tachlis, as a goal by itself. Surgery is good as a means of bad, but it's for the sake of good. And that's what Hashem is saying over here. The evil that I created in the world is for the sake of good. But God says, I want you to know, I'm doing it. Therefore, what does this mean? It doesn't only mean bad, evil. Any challenge difficulties people have in life is klala. If you think about it. But who's giving you the challenge? Hashem is giving you the challenge. What's the purpose of the challenge? Either challenge is bad. To reach a level of good that you couldn't reach if you didn't have the challenge. In other words, the challenge is really bad to bring you to a higher level of good. So if a person realizes, the Torah says, if I'm giving you the curse for the sake of good, then you need to understand I'm giving it to you, and therefore there has to be good. Rabbi Shua ben Karcha, the Medrash gives it, says, the Medrash, Rabbi Shua ben Karcha says, there's a marshal, a guy comes, there's two roads ahead of him. One is very clear and smooth, but at the end, there's terrible thorn bushes. Then you have another road. At the beginning, it's a few thorn bushes, but then the road goes straight. So which road is better? The second one. So he says, sometimes God gives the life of a Jew challenges, thorns, difficulties, but the end result is, the ultimate goal, the road should be straight and clear. The other way is no good. The Rishayim, they live, seemingly they have this good, happy, successful life, but the end result is it's full of thorns.
So there is no free choice.
Yeah, no.
No, there is no. If you give us calculus, some hard time to get to where this is, there is not a handle.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Once a year, you do a small little sin?
Yes.
You do? You do?
Yeah.
Okay, well, don't tell me what it is, but once a year.
More than once.
No, once a year. Now, did you choose to do that sin?
I don't know, maybe.
What do you mean, maybe?
So, maybe the situation, it happened to me to do that.
Yeah, but you chose to do it.
Yes. Who makes it ready for me to choose it?
God put two roads in front of you, sin and mitzvah.
So.
And God says, choose which one.
Okay.
Now, when a person understands that anechi neisin lefneichem hayayim bracho klola, that this evil, God says, I'm giving it to you today to reach a higher level, meaning by not sinning, when you want to sin and you don't, then you reach a higher level. But we have free choice. And by the way, the only thing that a Jew has free choice in, the only thing that we have free choice in is only Torah mitzvahs. That's it. Nothing else. We think we have. We have nothing else. Bechira is only in Torah mitzvahs.
So
it's nothing else.
Why you say that?
It's about Torah mitzvahs. Keeping an eye. As a bracha, a shetishmu.
But
that klolim leisishmu.
That includes everything. Every situation.
Only good and bad of Torah mitzvahs. Where you live is not your free choice. What, where you're going.
That could be a free choice.
Huh? We think it's free choice, but that's that. Yeah, but I'm saying, it's that. Where we live, how we live, what we live. In other words, a person, let's say, buys a house, yeah? So they can think, I had a free choice. They could have bought this house or this house. Not true. God made you choose that house. You don't have free choice.
So it was determined.
The only free choice we have is in good and bad. Because if we don't have free choice in good and bad, then good and bad can't be good.
So if somebody did everything good, it's good, it's nothing.
No, it's, what do you think, comes easy?
Yeah. Everything do good.
Maybe you, but it doesn't come easy.
No. I want to think you have free choice.
We have free choice.
So only?
Only in good and bad. Meaning Torah and mitzvahs. Mitzvahs and sins. That's the only thing we have
free choice. So we cannot get higher if you go all time good things. We're not going higher.
Yeah, we keep choosing.
No, we have to go to the hardship.
I don't know about you. I have a Yetzirah. Maybe you don't.
No,
I have a big one. Okay. And this Yetzirah says, don't do this, do this, do this, do this. So, and I have to choose. Do I want to listen to the Yetzer Tov? Do I want to listen to the Yetzer Hara? Do I want to do the mitzvah? Do I want to do the Aveda?
Who makes Yetzer Hara?
I make the choice.
No, you who created.
God gave me good and bad. That's what he says.
No,
I am giving you Yetzer Tov, Yetzer Hara.
Huh.
I'm putting in front of you good and bad.
So.
Okay? And you choose which one to do. That's our choice, to do the good or do bad. But that's the only thing we have free choice. We think we have free choice. Who we marry is not a free choice. Who our kids are not free. There's nothing that's free choice except good and bad of Torah mitzvahs.
So Rabbi, that means that basically if it's all good up there, when it comes down here, depending on each person, that can be turned into bad.
Correct. Depending how much of a vessel you make is based on how much good or evil you're going to get.
And how do I change that vessel?
By doing good.
Transfer.
By doing good.
I'll give you an example.
But then it's a
some people, this is a big thing in today's world, by the way. Some people are more prone to steal than others. Some people, by nature, are more geared, more prone, which is the correct English word, to steal or not to steal. Right? Some kids, by nature, are more rebellious than others. These are all personalities. In today's world, they say, let's say somebody who's gay, they say that he is, prone.
Tendencies.
But because somebody has a tendency to steal doesn't justify stealing. Correct? Yeah. Just because I have a tendency to steal doesn't mean I have a right to steal. Because somebody has sexual tendencies doesn't mean he could do whatever he wants. What does that mean? I might have a tendency to want to steal. I may be prone to stealing. But at the same time, I have the ability not to do it. Now, somebody who is prone to steal and doesn't is greater than one who's not interested in stealing and doesn't. Right? Mm-hmm. Just like somebody who wants to learn and enjoys learning and learns is not as great as somebody who hates learning and goes learn. It's understood. Now, this guy's learning. Right? So, who is to judge who is greater? So only God knows what your tendency is, and what my tendency is, and what his tendency, what her tendency is. And God judges us. That's why it says only God can be the judge. And the big of is, which the Mepharshim explained to me, the only one that has the right to judge individuals is Echad, only Hashem Echad. In other words, if I have a tendency to steal and I don't, God knows that. And therefore, when I don't steal, which is a battle, so I'm more rewarded, so to speak, than if you don't have a tendency to steal and you don't steal. So who can know what my tendencies are? Only God. If I can't judge you, you can't judge me. You don't know what I could be doing. I don't know what you could be doing. Only God knows what I should be doing or could be doing. And the person himself. In other words, just because a person has bad tendencies does not justify or allow it to be done. You said somebody once came to the Tzemach Tzedek. He said, Rabbi, I don't want to learn. I have no desire to learn. So the Tzemach Tzedek said, you're lucky. I do have a desire to learn. So when I learn, I don't get any reward for it. Look at you. You're so lucky. You don't want to learn. And when you learn, you're getting so much reward.
It's a good answer.
It's a true answer. It's not only a good answer. It's a true answer. But every Jew has free choice.
Only to
miss. Only in Torah mitzvahs. Nothing else. Not where we have, not a job, not a panasa, not the car we drive, not this. Nothing is, we think I chose to buy this car with this car. It's not true. Why did I buy this car? Because this is a car Hashem wanted me to buy. That's why I bought it.
And how is that related to serving Hashem?
How?
Yeah, I mean,
because it depends what you do with your car.
So the more you put an effort,
you know, the Gemara says, Isha no, Bayis no, Kelim noim, Merchivim daita shalodim. The Gemara says a beautiful wife, beautiful home, beautiful vessels, broaden the mind of a person.
Broaden.
It opens up the mind. There are many tzaddikim. When they learned, it's brought down by Rabbeinu Tam also from Taisus. It says when Rabbeinu Tam learned, he had a sack of money in front of him. Because you know, we all, when we see money, we feel good. When he, no, because when you're depressed, you can't, your mind doesn't work. When your mind's open, so he used to have money in front of him when he learned that it should open up his mind to be able to learn better. So if people use the car and that to serve Hashem better, then it's serving Hashem.
You have free mind.
They tell the two Jews years ago when the car phones came out, forget the cell phone, when the car phones came out in the olden days. So there were two Jews always competed against each other. Every time they competed, this guy got it, this guy got it, the other guy. So finally, the first guy gets a car phone. Calls up his friend. Says, Jack, guess what? I have a car phone. So Jack gets upset. He has a car. So he right away runs and then puts in the car phone. So he said, I'm going to call up Joe and tell him. He said, I also have a car phone. So Jack calls up Joe's cell car phone. And Joe picks up the phone. He says, hey, Joe, guess this. Jack, guess what? I have a car. He said, 1 minute, my other phone's ringing. If that's what the purpose of the cars and the car phones, that's not called serving God. Then that's the difference. But a Jew has to utilize everything that he could. Now, to go back to the question we asked before, there's a bunch of answers to the third question. Why did Torah begin singular and ends plural? So some of Farshim learned the reason for that is because God says, whatever the individual does affects the entire world. Because we're responsible for one another. In other words, in America there's an expression, mind your own business. There's a concept in America, mind your own business.
Live and let live.
Live and let live. No, mind your own business is worse. And the Rebbe said this many times, mind your own business is against Torah. Selfish. Why? I mean, obviously not in everything. You know, everybody seems to know how much money everybody else has in the bank. And he asked the guy, how many kids does the guy have? He doesn't know. But everybody knows how much money everybody has in the bank. Okay. Except themselves. Yeah. So, because every Jew is responsible for another Jew. Call Yisrael Revim, Zeh Bazeh, which we learned already. It doesn't say Zeh Lo Zeh, it says Zeh Bazeh in the Gemara, which means all the Jews are intermixed. They tell a story, they always tell this to kids. A kid was once on a boat, traveling. The kid got bored. So he took out a knife, and he started making a hole under a seat. So the people of the boat said to him, are you crazy? What are you doing? He says, mind your own business. It's my seat. Under my seat, I can do whatever I want. So he told him, you nut job. You make a hole under your own seat, we all drown. Right? You can't say, mind your own business, that the kids mind your own business, because it's a seat. The Torah says, a Jew needs to know that re'ei, you should see singular to each individual person, what I'm giving you lefneichem affects everybody. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva, explaining the Mishnah in Sanhedrin. The Mishnah, we learned this also many times. The Mishnah says in Sanhedrin, Lama nivra Adam yichidi. Why did God create Adam singular? When God created trees, he didn't make one tree. When God created animals, he didn't make one animal, he made, I don't know, thousands, millions of animals, whatever. The only thing God made one, I'm not talking about the sun and moon, but I'm saying creatures on earth. God didn't make a million people at the same time. God made one person, Adam, and then Chava came, and then 7 billion people came. So the Mishnah asked the question, Lam nivra Adam yichidi? Why did God create Adam Rishon alone? Why didn't God create a million people at the same time? And the Mishnah says, it's a very strange expression. If you take the Mishnah literally, it's very strange, but the Rambam explains in Hilchos Tshuva what the Mishnah means. The Mishnah answers, Shekol echad ve'echad chayiv loymar b'shvili nivra ha'olam. That every person is obligated to say, the world was created for me. A lot of people take this literal. The whole world is for me. That's all world is mine. You know, I don't care about anybody else. Me. So obviously, they can't mean what the Mishnah means. I mean, it's very egotistic. So the Rambam explains, what does the Mishnah mean? that Bishvili Nivra Ha'ila means what I do will affect the entire world. Bishvili, meaning my action now, the Rambam goes even more, thought, speech, or action, the Rambam says, is going to affect the whole world. So the Rambam says like this, whenever you're about to do something, you should picture the world of good and bad equally balanced. Okay, there's a world, good and bad are equal. You're going to do good, the whole world will be way down to good. You do bad, the whole world will be down, turned to evil. Meaning, the Rambam says, what does it mean, Bishvili Nivra Ha'ilam? A person needs to think that my action that I'm going to do now will affect the entire world. And the Mepharshim explained, that's why the Torah begins with Re'ei, singular. I'm talking to every single Jew, but you should know what I'm giving you, Torah Mitzvah, is Lefneichem, plural. Because what you do will affect the entire world. Meaning, every person is responsible for everybody else. So therefore, by the way, which is another remarkable thing, if you're missing something, then I'm missing it too. If you're spiritually missing, then I'm missing, because we're all one.
Does this include the non-Jews or just the Jews?
We have enough headaches with the Jews. Let's leave it with the Jews. It's a different function. I mean, we're not going to get there today, obviously, it's late already, but God chose us. It's interesting. On Shabbos, in the Amidah, we don't say Atav Chatonu Mikol Ha'amin. Just in Chagim. Okay? Because Shabbos was given before Matan Torah. Shabbos was given by Mora, Rashi says last week's Parsha. Sham lechaykum mishpat v'sham. So Rashi says in Mora, when the border was bitter before Matan Torah, they were given Shabbos, Parda, and the laws, Dinim, and various things. By Matan Torah, God chose us. Ata v'chatonu mikol ha'amim. Or we say every day before Shema, Uvanu v'charta mikol am v'loshin. God chose us. What did He choose us? To do what? Somebody once told me, to be suffering and oppressed and destroyed. That's what God chose us to. But that's not what the Torah means. God chose us, and by the way, that's why we have free choice. Because God chose us. And therefore our whole existence is free choice, and therefore we have free choice when it comes to good and bad. Because God chose us in Matan Torah. Okay? God chose us for what? To do what? To bring godliness into the world. All the other nations, therefore our actions, will either bring God into the world or remove God from the world. Okay? If we do mitzvah or sin. The non-Jew's purpose in creation is very important, by the way. If you want to run a business, you need a civilized office. You need a civilized world to run a business. You need a civilized office, yeah? So now, in order to have an office, you need, let's say, a desk, a chair. Nowadays, you need a computer.
Right? Order.
Huh?
Order.
Now, that order, you know how many people it took to build that desk? Starting from the guys that planted the tree, to the ones that cut it down, to the one, the lumber yard, and this, and the carpenter. That one desk you have involved probably 50 different types of people. Forget how many people, right? Now you want a computer. You know how many people took to get the computer? You're talking about the wholesale, the retailer, the manufacturer. I mean, just think about it. How many people were involved? Now, this is all for one me. Right? The desk took 50 people to make, the computer took 50 people to make, and the paper took, whatever it is, yeah? All for me to run the business. But if I wouldn't have all that order, I wouldn't be able to run the business. Okay? The purpose of non-Jews, by the way, it's very important, you know, if you don't have a secretary that organizes the office, it's the secretary is something more important than the boss. Right?
Yeah.
I'm saying, really. Sometimes a good secretary is more important than the boss. Because when the boss is not there, the secretary runs the office anyway. When the secretary is not there, the boss is lost.
Lost.
That's the fact.
It's true.
It's true. Yeah. Okay. So, the purpose of the non-Jew is, as the Pasuk itself says, Lo leteo bara, it wasn't created to be tohu vavohu, void, ela lasheves yitzara, to be civilized. The purpose of non-Jews in the world is to civilize the world. Therefore, if you look at all the seven mitzvahs of Bnei Noach, all deal with decent humanity. Not to steal, not to kill, to believe in God, to have a court system, not to be cruel to animals. These are all orderly, civilized mitzvahs. Okay? So the purpose of the non-Jew is to civilize the world. Then, the Jew comes in, who is chosen by God to bring Kedusha into the world, to bring holiness into the world. So that's what we were chosen for. And that's the concept of that Hashem chose us for the sake of bringing the Kedusha into the world.
So, Rabbi?
What?
So, if the world is not civilized to this point,
whose fault is it?
Has the world been civilized first before Kedusha comes, or happens at the same time?
If we're going to wait for the world to be civilized, we would have never started. It has to go hand in hand. I mean, but you know what? The world is a jungle out there. But, you know, in a certain way, civilized countries are civilized countries.
The Western civilization.
Western civilization. America is more or less a civilized country. I mean, there's a bunch of lunatics running it, but there's it's a civilized country.
It's your system, everything.
The world used to be more civilized at one point, wasn't it? Like, isn't it now more or less civilized than it used to be?
It's more chaotic.
I don't know if it's more or less civilized. I would use the word it's more chaotic. I think the world is more perplexed because nobody knows anymore what's right and what's wrong.
That's where we come in.
Well, we come in, but we have to base on the civilization that we have to be able to do it. That's the shtus of Kedusha, you know, because the world is so far to the left. We spoke Saturday night. The left and to the right, you know. But that's the function of a Jew, is to bring Kedusha into a civilized world.
If not civilized world, it cannot be.
It's much harder. That doesn't mean you can't run the business. It's just much harder to run the business.
Yeah.
So Kedusha means purity.
Kedusha means, literally, Kedusha means separation. Oh. Something separated from the world, meaning, which we call holy. But the word Kedusha, in Chumash, the word for a prostitute is Kedesha. Kedesha is the same letters as the word Kedusha. But Yud and Thomas, she said, Yeah, Kedesha is Beinayim. Laisiya Kedesha Mebnei Yisrael. The Torah says you shouldn't have prostitution. What is it called? Kedesha. Which is the same, mamish, the same letters as Kedusha. But like we spoke Saturday night, you have shtus of Kedusha, shtus of evil. The word Kedusha literally means separated. You can be separated for holiness, separated less than normal. So that's the difference between, but Kedusha itself literally in English is defined as holiness, but what's the definition of holiness? Something which is removed from the norm of the world. The norm of the world is teva, nature, that conceals. Kedusha is a revelation of godliness. The job of a Jew is to show, and that's what you say, Melech Ha'elam, in the Brach, right? Bringing down Adam. Melech Ha'elam, that the world, as a world, Olam, which by the way comes to the word Ha'elam, concealment. Why is world called Olam in Hebrew? Because it comes to the word Ha'elam, which means concealment. The world conceals God. Nature conceals God. World is nature. The job of a Jew is to bring this Ata, Hashem, Elokeinu, Melech HaElam, that the world sees that it's God. That's what a Jew does when he does Torah Mitzvahs. What?
So does that mean that we should maybe invest in B'nai, like Lazar Noah, for the world? Build institutions for them?
Let's first build an institution for the Jews. Yes, but according to the Rambam writes in Hilchos Malachim that a Jew has a biblical obligation to make sure that a non-Jew keeps the seven mitzvahs.
So,
and the Rebbe once brought this out as a campaign for Jews who come in contact with non-Jews. So they asked the Rebbe, where was this ever done in history? She said, in history, the Jews are barely alive. Can you imagine going to communist Russia, say, hey guys, we're the Jews, we're going to tell you how to keep the seven, they'll kill you on the spot. You're going to tell the Spanish Inquisition? He said, then there's no mitzvah to give up your life for it.
You could argue during Shlomo.
Shlomo Melech, Tzaka did.
Yeah,
Shlomo Melech inspired all the nations of the world. Right, but today that a Jew has the ability in a free country to do it, yeah, we have an obligation to do it.
Maybe the world would have been not